sending you help.
Okay, this is October 3rd, and it's the first Monday of the month, and we're going to be doing some questions and answers, and then going over the book Thank and Grow Rich.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Such is the nature of life, that all it asks and all at once is an opportunity to appear. You are that opportunity, and so am I. It is the purpose of this teaching to make us aware of this essential truth of our being. With that said, excuse me, if you're into the book at all, if you've read a few pages at all, you'll realize that this Pam is very succinct in what she's saying. It's easy to read. And here again, she will tell you that the whole universe is rooting for you. It wants you to succeed, because when you succeed, it succeeds. She made a statement in one of the chapters there that before God was made into a prick, is what she says. How did that come about, that we think that God is out to punish us? Does anyone know? Does anyone realize that in the Old Testament, it's fire and brimstone? In the New Testament, there's no fire and brimstone. God changes completely. But we keep going back to the Old Testament, where God is out to get you, out to punish you, and you have to do this, that, and everything. That is not true. I mean, she says in the book, this has been going on now for 6,000 years. So when you have something going on, oh, look at this, here he comes.
And how are you? Trouble.
Oh, my goodness.
They sent for you?
See, Paula?
Did they send for you? Did they send for you?
Yes, they did.
Out there, they want you.
Yeah. They have a cell waiting.
He's not kissing you.
You know, in the Catholic saying, there's everybody has a cross to bear.
Yes.
That's my cross.
That's your cross.
That's my cross.
Okay.
Oh, before I forget it. This is the name.
Oh, wonderful.
Okay, and that's the gentleman that I talk to all the time.
What are you doing? Would you like any more time here?
No, that's okay.
Would you like to teach?
Start.
Okay, thank you. So we have to learn to get over it, but when you have something in race mind or collective consciousness for 6,000 years, very difficult to change your mind about that. Many people still think that God is watching every move you're doing. God's not watching every move you're doing. So try to get that out of your consciousness, where you think that this thing that we call God is punishing you in any way, shape, or form. God is not punishing. Not punishing. All God ever does is love. And the universe, which is God, that's all the universe does. The universe wants you to have good and more good all the time. And we must put that into our consciousness. The other thing to always remember is that you're being taken care of, that the universe loves you unconditionally. And see, we're never told that either. And when they tell you in church about God, God will only love you if you're good. Mm-hmm. Only if you're good and you do this, this, and this, then God will love you. God loves you regardless. God loves you regardless. We have a mind, and we must take care of that mind, and we must be the ones that decide, am I going to be a good person or a bad person? I did outdoor drama in Cherokee, North Carolina, when I was much younger. And it was about the Cherokees being moved off their land in North Carolina and sent to to Oklahoma on what was called the Trail of Tears, and they, of course, most of them died getting there. I'll come back to that in a minute. That went through my mind. The Cherokee Indian who went in was robbed because there was some gold found in North Carolina, so the white men wanted all the gold. So, of course, they moved the Cherokee out. Well, they discovered there wasn't that much gold. But here's the fun part. They moved him to Oklahoma. And they moved him on top of oil. They own all the oil. So, isn't that wonderful?
Yes, it is.
I think that's called the Cherokee Strip or something in
the Strip.
Yeah, in Oklahoma. And it has all the oil. Now, this is the way you must see everything, that something better is coming. You know, we can get carry on and say, oh, it wasn't that awful for the Indians. And it was awful. But at least they came out with something, didn't they? And that's what you have to realize, that God, the universe, is going to take care of you. But we have to change our mind about what God is. And that's the most difficult thing that we have. My hair on the back of my neck stood up when I read when she said, you've got to remember, God is not a prick. Now, you know perfectly well, we've never heard that in church, would we?
No.
We'd have never heard that. But when you think about it, it's absolutely true. God is not a nasty person. That comes from the Old Testament. The Old Testament was fire and brimstone. The New Testament, the covenant of the New Testament, was love and only love. And I don't know how many people here who read the Bible, or if you don't, it's not necessary, you know. There are three different gods in the Bible. They're called different names. Elohim and all that. People make this stuff up. They make this stuff up. So don't let your mind do that to you. Learn to see the universe as a friendly place to live, and learn to see it as part of you and how magnificent it is. So this book, Thank and Grow Rich, is the idea of realizing what a wonderful adventure life is. It's an absolutely wonderful adventure. She tells you in the book different ways, 30-day plan and so forth, to prove this stuff so that you know. All her books, by the way, have experiments in them. If you use the experiment, you'll find that there is a power. And that's what we have to realize, that we are connected to a power for good in the universe, that we are one with this goodness, and that we can do something with it. But it requires changing your mind. But when you have them still teaching the same damn stuff for 6,000 years, and most people never analyze that, never do anything about that. And you must learn to look at it differently and to change your mind. Whatever you have, concept you have about God, you must change that concept so that the vibration that's in the universe is the same vibration that you're putting out, so that they connect with each other, so that you see beauty and love and all that around you all the time. And know that you're not alone, and that you can have what you want. You can have what you want. Now, we, of course, use money, and how many people realize that money is just a construct of the mind? It's a made-up thing. It's an absolute, totally made-up thing. Now, it's a nice system that we have most of the time. It's a nice system. But it has to change, too. We have to change this system. I know right now Wells Fargo's having a heck of a time because they are so fraudulent with everything that they have done. One of the senators, I think, suggested that we don't have Wells Fargo in California, at least, because they're just absolutely devious. I forgot it again. Well, they wrote fraudulent loans and did all kinds of stuff. And their fees and so forth. I forget how much they make on fees that they charge people. And most people don't even know they're being charged that. So, no, they're looking into all that stuff. But anyway, what I'm trying to say is it's a made-up thing, and you can make up anything that you want with your money. I never buy in to the system, the stock market, and all the stuff that's going on, because I know that there's a spiritual reality that will take care of all of that. All it is in life is to get yourself to move up in consciousness. The other thing is, please don't wait around for death to come to you and you think, oh, now I'll be all right, I'll be in heaven. Death does not change anyone. Death doesn't change anyone. You stay the same. You stay exactly the same. You have to do it now, in this very moment. This is the only time there is. And this is when you use your mind to say, this is what I want, because you can have any reality that you want through your thinking. But you're the one that's making up the reality. What happens is, remember I tell you, the world is so convincing, we buy into that and we think that's the reality. I never buy into the world. I buy into my own reality. My friend, and I use this, said somebody was talking to her and being awful, and she just looked at him and said, thank God I don't live in your reality. Thank God I don't live in your reality. Don't live in other people's realities. Don't live in the reality that the world wants to tell you. We can change any reality. We have a mind that can do that and can create any reality that we want. So create the reality that you want. And you do that with the thank, with the gratitude, and with understanding that you are one with everything. And this oneness, you can call it the oneness God, wants you to have everything. Wants you to be satisfied, you see. Why wouldn't we want to be happy? So, you know, my friend Doug the Baptist, he's waiting to go to heaven to be happy. I told him, you're an idiot. You know? Why would you want to do that? Why do people put off their good? Because we think we're not worthy, deserving, totally lovable, and that we matter. And you must realize that those four items you have already. See? So, use this book, read it, and I'm going to open now for questions. Just have you been reading it, Scott?
No, my wife is still reading it.
Oh, you're still reading
it. She finished today, so maybe I can start tonight.
Okay.
I have 16 pages left.
Yeah.
Would you like your own book? I have one in the car.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah. There's certain other people she brings in.
I can give you here.
We can share.
That's good too. Share.
Somebody might need one and get out of bed. Now we can share without saying, I'm grateful for whatever.
Scott, did you say you're reading it or not?
Yeah, I've only read the first two, like the whole first section.
Well, that's good.
It's just a lot of stuff I already believe.
Absolutely. But that's all we ever do, is we pick up these books. We know this stuff, but we have to reaffirm it all the time. And when she comes out with a book like this, it's wonderful to reaffirm, and she puts it in a different light, in a different way. Very simple language. So, have you learned? What have you learned from it?
I haven't learned a whole lot yet, but I'm hoping this next section here will
get you doing it.
Like with either exercises or something to work on more specifically.
Right. Well, work on them. It'll work. Last week I was mooting around, just doing this, that, and the other thing, and saying, I need money. See, you can do that. Just, I need money.
She says it takes 30 days to change.
Well, that's her philosophy.
Yes, because Reverend James says it takes 21, because it takes 21.
For the egg. Because the chicken and the egg, and they've used that 21 days forever.
To change, to change behavior.
Right. And she uses 30. Do it in 21 if you want. Do it in one day if you want. You have, the whole point of the book, if you'll watch, she wants you to start to think for yourself. What do you think about this? Not what she thinks, you see. And most people want, they want to pattern themselves after her. Well, you can do that. But why don't you pattern yourself after yourself? After yourself. So anyway, I was telling you about money. And the reason why I wanted money, because I know the property taxes are coming due. And I think, well, we've got to have that money. So, last week, a check arrived in the mail for $890 from somebody that is one of the tithes to me. Of course, I took the money. Then I use that and say, see, it does work, Dallas. Your mind is doing something. The universe loves you. It's going to take care of you. And it always does. Always does. So, anyone else have a question, an answer, anything?
I have another question.
Yes.
What are the two names in the Bible for God?
For God?
Mm-hmm.
Elohim and Yahweh.
Mm-hmm. Now, you said three different gods when you mentioned that, reiterating back. I thought they were just all the same, different names for the same entity.
Well, they think they're different, but one was horrible and mean God. A horrible and mean God. In the Old Testament, you don't get a nice God, you get a punishing God. And you see, we want to get that out of our consciousness.
How many years between the Old and the New?
The Testament?
Yeah.
Oh, 500 or more. A lot. And then you have to realize that after they did all this, it took years. They wrote this down years and years later, so who knows what's right. Don't worry about God. Don't worry about the Bible. Worry about your own mind and your own consciousness. What is it doing for you or to you? You see? When my mind acts up, I tell it to stop. I notice it. I become aware of it. And I say, no. This is the reality I want. This is what I want to come into my life. And it will come into your life. You told a wonderful story about thinking your friend, and she got a part. You see? We're all connected. We're all doing stuff. And that's metaphysical. That's very metaphysical.
Why would they pick a punishing God?
Why would people?
Yes.
Well, back, 6,000 years ago, it was a rough time. So, and people were stoning each other and all that kind of stuff. It was horrible. And they thought, well, God must be doing this, you see. But you had to change your mind about God. I don't know, I used to tell people, if you're not getting what you want, your God is too small. You have to kick that God out and get a bigger God. It's always that sort of thing. A bigger God or a bigger idea of what things are. You have to change those ideas. There's a little saying in the book, if a man from 30 to 50 hasn't changed, there's something wrong. You have to continually change. Change your thinking. Learn something new about the world, about yourself, or about God. You see? And there's no sense getting into all the different religions, because they all have a different concept. And people join churches and organizations like that because they think that there is salvation through affiliation. There's no salvation anyway. You don't need saved. People run around, oh, are you saved? I used to go to a church that when you walked in the door, they'd say, oh, are you saved? Mm-hmm. I had no idea what the hell they were talking about. It was a black church.
Yeah, exactly. Yes.
Yeah, you better say it, right? But after they got over that, I thought that they had tons of love in that church. Tons of love. But they just couldn't let that salvation thing go.
Fire and damnation.
Yes. And we don't want that in our lives, people. So after 6,000 years, we have to start to think differently, and we have to change that. We have to realize that this thing that we call metaphysics, or the law of attraction, or cause and effect, whatever, it really does work. And we can prove that it's there through quantum mechanics, you see. We can prove that that works. You can't look at anything without changing it. You cannot do that. And that's what you have to see what you're doing in life. We're always changing things with our mind. Wait, that's a very powerful thing. So, what do? Let's talk a minute about prosperity. People want prosperity, absolutely. And it's waiting right outside the door constantly. There's tons of prosperity in this world. Now, why don't we have it? Because people don't believe that they are worthy enough to have prosperity. They still think of lack and limitation. There's no such thing as lack and limitation. You must give that idea up. You must give up the idea of watching news programs and so forth. All that bad stuff on the news is only 5% of what's going on. 5%. We make all our focus on the 5%. Whatever you focus on grows. It multiplies. Don't focus on it. I never do. I never focus on any of that stuff. I change my mind and I say, here's the way I want to see the world. And at nighttime, before I go to sleep, I say to myself, here's the world that I want to live in. And this is what I want. See? And it will do that for you. But when we get enough people thinking correctly, the whole paradigm will change. It will change. Because it's all held together. It's a mind construct held together with our individual thinking. And we buy into all this, and it becomes race, mind, or collective consciousness. And there's a different way to do it, a different way to look at everything. So, see yourself the way you want to be, you see. And most people don't see themselves in a good light. Most people don't see themselves in a good light. You have to see yourself in a good light. You know, there are so many people out there that have no self-confidence whatsoever. They have no, what kind of a joy is that? And you know that parents with low self-esteem cannot raise a child with high self-esteem. It's an impossibility. And you know that from teaching. If you see the child and you meet the parents, you're, oh, now I see. Yes. What's going on? It's your mind. It's your thinking. Please change it. And know that you are worthy, deserving, totally lovable, and that you matter. Know those things about yourself. Don't be ashamed. So many people are ashamed to say something good about themselves. Don't be ashamed. Stand up and say, I'm a wonderful human being. I'm an ambassador.
Yes, I am, Paula. Wonderful human being.
Yes.
You got boobs.
And what else are you?
I am worthy, deserving, totally loved. Perfect, just the way I am.
Are you an ambassador of love and light? Are you an ambassador for God? Are you always about your Father's business? Mm-hmm. Well, better do it. We have to know that. We are the ambassadors for God. We are the emissaries of light and love. We have to know that. And it sounds so what? Trite. But it's not trite. It's not trite. We're ashamed. You wouldn't walk into a room and say, guess what? I'm an ambassador of light and love. Because you would say, these people are going to throw me out, stone me. You know? So don't be around those people. Always be around people that uplift you. That uplift you. And that's what these books are all about. They may be self-help books, but they say something and they give you an uplifting feeling. When you read, didn't you get a little uplifting? Mm-hmm. Yes, you get uplifted from it.
Yeah. It was reinforcing a lot of...
It just reinforces. But if you can fall into that and know that you're always putting something out into the universe that's going to come back. It's going to come back. That's that whole thing about karma, you know. Religious science doesn't believe in karma. If they do believe in karma, it's called instant karma. Because you know right away if you make a mistake, you know it's a mistake. You know that. So just, I made a mistake, so what? That's all you do. God's not going to hold anything against you. The universe isn't going to hold anything against you. The whole idea is love. The whole idea is realizing that you are unconditionally loved. Unconditionally. That's a hard one for anyone. The concept of being unconditional. Because we think we have to do something. Remember, our parents said, if you're good, you'll get that. Well, that's not unconditional love. That's conditioned love. That's conditioned love. God's going to give it to you regardless of what you do. But you have to change your thinking so that you can allow that to come into your consciousness so that you can get the vibrations, get the frequency going inside of you. She states in the book, your whole life will change if you do the thank and gratitude. It changes you. When you're thankful, don't you feel better? Immediately you feel better. It changes your whole thinking, your whole vibration. Biologically also it changes everything inside of you. You see? Well, you love yourself and love everybody else and love the universe and say, this is a wonderful adventure. This is a wonderful adventure I'm going through. And I'm going to enjoy every moment of it. I'm going to enjoy every moment of it. And then you will enjoy every moment of it. Most people want money. We all do, I do. But that's not the end all be all. That's not the end all be all. The end all be all is to be able to have a peaceful mind. For your mind to say you've done a damn good job. Done okay for yourself. And you do that with gratitude and thanksgiving. And you love all the people around you and all. You know, we're isolated. We think, I can't love that person. But you can love anybody. You can love anybody. If you can't, move away from them is my philosophy. Get away from them. You don't have to be around anybody that brings you down. Be around people that uplift you, that say good things about you. So many people never hear a good thing about themselves. you probably realized that when you were teaching, those poor children needed somebody to say, you're okay. You're doing a good job. Their parents never did that for them. They never said anything.
Why don't parents say things?
Why don't they? I think that in race mind, in the collective consciousness, they don't realize that they can. I think sometimes they want to, but they just don't do it.
They don't know
how to do it. You're saying? They don't know how to do it.
And they think what they're doing is correct.
Oh, yes, because I grew up with it in a German neighborhood and family, and their philosophy was spare the rod, spoil the child.
Spoil the child, exactly.
So, don't be nice to them, don't do any. You know, now I was never beaten, I was never that. No, my parents never said to me, Dallas, you're a wonderful human being. They never said that. And we need to tell people that. We need to tell people, geez, you're a wonderful human being. So, change it. And if your parents aren't exactly what you think they should be, change your mind about them. What good is it to carry that with you the rest of your life? You see, you took it personally. They'd have done it to anyone. They would have done it to anyone. So don't think that you're special in any way, shape, and form. But if you were going to be, well, you are a parent, and you're a parent, you say nice things about your son, I hear you. And you say nice things about your son. That helps them and it helps you, doesn't it? Because you don't want to be like your parents brought you up. But they brought you up, they thought their method, if you were clean and fed and all that stuff, then you they were doing the right job.
And a roof over
your head. They also learned it from their parents.
Well, of course. It's just passed down from one generation to the next.
I can remember, because my father and I were very strange, and I can remember confronting him one time, and much to my surprise, anyway, he said, I knew the best that I knew how. That's the way I was raised.
Yes. Well, that's
the way I was raised. I just never thought it would affect you right. The way it has it, so well.
But it does affect you. It does. My brother raised his children the way he was raised. Disaster. My cousin raised his children completely differently, and they're wonderful. They know who they are. It's just in training. But now that you know that, you have to train your own mind to think differently. You see? You have to train yourself. And how do you do that? One way I do it is I just sit down and forgive. And I give thanks to those people, my parents, because they did feed me and clothe me, and I had a roof over my head.
They did the best they could.
They did the very best they could. And when I think about it, I've never had children. They did a fairly good job. I don't know if I could have done all the stuff that they did, but they never were able to say, I love you. They never were able to say that, because you didn't. In my family, you didn't touch. You didn't show any affection in public or any affection even out of public. When I was a child, people would be driving on the highway or country road. And if the wife sat really close to the husband in the car, my mother had a comment, look at that. That shouldn't be. No, because you had to be separate. You had to be him here, her there. But to get, oh my, that was, and then, they never held hands. I never saw my parents kiss each other. Never. So we're supposed to grow up loving and caring and all that kind of stuff. If you don't see it at home, you're not going to be able to do it unless you change your mind about that. The same way they know now that all this stuff runs in families. Abuse runs in families. It's a chain that must be broken. It's a chain that must be broken. But those of you who don't know any better, well, my father beat me, so I'm going to beat my kid too. They think that's the way it's supposed to be. So you have to give yourself great credit for still being here on this plane of action and learning to love. Learning to love yourself and let it go out to touch other people. Let it go out to touch other people. That church, Barbara King, I don't know if you heard, she had a, that was a, she looked like a Watusi warrior, but I loved her, Barbara King. I took my mother to that church when she came to visit me in Atlanta. And, you know, they were feely-touchy. Everyone hugged and did all that. Oh, my God, she just melted. And finally, she just sat there and cried. Well, because no one touched her in all her life, you know. They were... That was wrong. I don't know what they thought. If you touch somebody, you were going to jump in bed with them. I have no idea what they thought was going to happen. But no affection. And in that neck of the woods, you know, the land of Nod, which is just past the land of blame, they don't do it to this day. They don't do it till this to this day. You know?
They're raising their kids the same way.
They're raising their kids the same way. You know, when I go home, I hug everybody. Oh, they go crazy. Because they say, oh, God, that's old. That's awful. No, you have to learn all this stuff. So, try all this stuff out, people. But read the book and make it work for you. Make it work. It does work. There is something that wants to help us. Always wants to help us. Always wants to give us what we want. But when we think it doesn't, it's not going to. You see? It's always done unto you as you believe. Always. That's one of the premises of religious science. If you know that, you see? That it's done unto you as you believe. So, use the book and you'll find a difference. The whole difference in your life. It's just changing. And people think, you know, they say, yes, they want to change something, but they think you have to do something dramatic. It only has to be a little crack. You have to make a little crack so that the universe can get in there. And then it'll expand and expand and expand. But people think, oh no, you have to do something great. No, you don't have to do anything great. You know? You just have to let it work. And we're afraid to do that. We think that God is not going to answer our requests. God always answers your request before you could know what's going on. Yeah, true. Absolutely. I've proved it to myself that many times, and I still have to sit and convince myself sometimes. Because our mind loves to discount things. Oh, well, that just happened. Don't let your mind discount things. Make a big fuss over the whole thing. And know that it works. And it does work, people. It does work. So, do it. Do it for yourself. Do it for what you want in life. That's all you can do. So, as she would tell you, this is perhaps a self-help book, perhaps not. You can read it and get nothing out of it. You can read it and get everything out of it. Or you can make your own mind up what you want. You see, you can't turn her into something. She turned herself into that. Now you turn yourself into what you want. You see? Turn yourself into what you want so that you can become the person that you were intended to be. The person that you were intended to be. Now my mind is clearing again. I'm back to Cherokee, North Carolina. I dropped a story there. The story with the outdoor drama and all, and the Indians being moved and all, there was one Indian chief, and they asked him a question, and he said, "You must remember, there are good men and there are bad men." You see, which one do you want to be? Which one do you want to be? See, I never wake up in the morning and think I'm going to do something bad. I wake up in the morning and say, I'm going to do something wonderful today. Something that will help the world, will help me and my every, you know, all that. So all you can do, people, is put it out there and let it come back to you. Let it come back to you. And it always will. Did I ever tell you the story about my friend Betty? Betty was my director in college. She was the one who said to me, "Dallas, it's so easy to hurt. Why don't you learn to heal people?" And I thought, oh, never heard that before, and I loved that comment. Anyway, my friend Joyce Reynolds was doing a seminar, and I said to Betty, "Why don't you come?" Now, Betty, and I said, "Betty, I'll pay for it." Back then, it was $50 for the weekend. So I paid the $50. When Betty made her transition, she left me money.
Yeah.
She left me money. She had tons of money. She was very good with money. So I tried to figure that out one time. $50 I put out, I got $20,000 back. $20,000 back. Now that's a nice investment, isn't it? But I didn't do it to get money back. I did it because I wanted to treat her to something. And when you treat people to things, you feel good too. It makes you feel good. But all that stuff, and we don't do it because we think, oh, well, now the universe will give this back to me. But the universe always does. The universe will always give it back somehow, some way. The $890 that I received in the mail, I had no idea that it would come from that person. That person never entered my mind. Other people did, but that person didn't. But there it was, $890. And, you know, I think that's wonderful. I think all, and I wasn't counting on that. But when it came, I jumped for joy. I said, how wonderful. Once again, God, you have proven to me that life is good, and that I am being taken care of. I am being taken care of. Now, what does my mind do? My mind says to me, Dallas, you're old enough to do this stuff for yourself. Why are you depending on other people? I have to tell it to shut up. To shut up. Let things flow to you. Let them come to you. You see. And that the person who sent the money must have gotten a great thrill out of giving that money. Must have gotten a great thrill out of giving that money.
Can I ask why 890?
Because it was tithing something.
Oh, okay.
I don't know what he was tithing. Yeah. It just said, here's a tithe. So he gave that 10 or 20% of whatever he made. He must have made.
Or a portion of that.
Yes, he made much more, you see.
I remember, what is it, Guida Gaines with her tithing?
Well, and that's what he put in the little letter. He said, this is from me and Edwina Gaines.
Oh, okay.
I knew at doing the game.
Yeah.
I thought she was dead by now.
No, she's still kicking. Yeah. So, like a few years ago, I took a seminar from her. You know, she says about tithing 10%.
Well, yeah, she does that. Well, she's
your spiritual soul.
That seminar that she does all over the country.
Mm-hmm. I've been to one.
Yeah, her and Mary Morrison. Mm-hmm. Mary Morrison does them. And they know that they know the little principles, and you have to know the little principles, and it works every time, and it amazes me, and I can't tell you how much keeps coming, and I keep thank you very much, you know, and I use it correctly. I don't fritter it away or anything. I either pay my taxes or my credit cards, whatever pay up.
Would it be because I'm relating it to what she says in the book when she took the walks on the beaches instead of working and did clean her room for all that time, and people were starting to maybe ridicule her a little bit. She said, I'm doing what I want to do, it makes me happy, kind of like the rest will follow. So if you get that money and you do it practical wise, I pay my taxes, I'm paying this bill, I'm paying that. So what if you frivol away? It was gifted to you. So what if that makes you happy to go out and buy dinners or for yourself?
Well,
nice
then that's
clothing?
Fine. Use it the way you want it.
Okay.
Yes. Use it for what you want. But know that you can do it and know that more is on its way. You see, most people cling to everything because they think that's all we can have. And I think I learned that as a child, to take care of everything because you didn't know if you were ever going to get it again. Now I don't care. You know, I just, everything, it just keeps coming. So after 6,000 years of knowing about a God, that is all the stuff in those 6,000 years, not all, almost, I will go up to say 99% of what you have learned about this thing called God is wrong. Absolutely, totally wrong. But why does the Catholic Church say, give me a child to the age of 5 and they will be mine forever? Why do they do that? Because from 1 to 5 is the most impressionable year in a person's life. And they remember that, you know. There's another little saying, you know, when you're talking to somebody, you must remember that you're talking to a 5-year-old. Because most people have never matured past the age of 5. They never changed their mind. Well, my mother always said this, that, and the other thing. And you think, oh, well, you made her into a god. And you're not being mean or anything to say, my mother didn't know what the hell she was saying. I still love her, but she was crazy. You see? We have to be able to do that and become our own person. All about thinking for yourself. Each and every one of us here could sit down and write a book like this. We could sit down and spout all that stuff out. So, do it. Become your own person. Don't think that I have to do it this way or that way. You have to do it your way. You are an individualized expression of God, individualized expression of God. Use that expression for your benefit, you see. When I was in ministerial school, I had to do a table thing with the younger people, and they would start out every time with saying, well, Kennedy, that was the head man, Kennedy says this, Kennedy says that. I said, I don't care what the hell Kennedy says. What do you say? What do you think? I want to hear what you to regurgitate what somebody else is saying is not knowledge. It's just regurgitation, isn't it? So we don't need regurgitation. We want originality. We want to stand up and be ourselves. And you can do that. And we can all do that. Because this thing called God is for us, never against us. And it's wonderful. And so are you, and so am I. And there ends the lesson. Thank you.
Thank you.